Shabbat Shalom. Parsha Pinchas. You may have also heard his name spoken as Phinehas. Recently, I spoke about the size of the Israelite camp in the wilderness. If we have to go back a little bit in chapter 25, and we see that Balak sees them coming and describes them as covers the whole of the earth. He says that in Numbers 22:10. Balak wants them cursed. God blesses them instead. What is Moab's response? Seduce Israel. So Israel joined in the worshiping in the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord's anger here is a plague, as we'll see in a few verses later. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in the worshiping of Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, saw this, he left the assembly, he took a spear in his hand, and he followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. In reading this, you almost get a sense that the assembly was weeping and praying at the temple, at the entrance to the temple. And in front of all this, this man takes this Midianite woman in front of everybody, and you get this feeling like they just like, what? I mean, they just didn't even know what to do. And that's where Phinehas comes in. He has no hesitation. No hesitation. Aaron's grandson comes in and is rewarded for his act of zealotry in killing the Simeonite prince of Zimri and the Midianite princess. These individuals were both children of leadership on opposite sides. God grants Phinehas a covenant of peace and the priesthood. Also in this parsha is the second census. A census of the people counts 601,730 men between the ages of 20 and 60. The first census resulted in 603,550. Israel was only reduced by 1,820 at this time. Now, the purpose for this census was for the division of the land. Moses is instructed on how the land is to be divided by lottery among the tribes and the families of Israel. In chapter 27, we read about the daughters of Zelophehad. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Oh, Tirzah. How special. They approached the entrance to the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly, and said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not among those in Korah's rebellion. But he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from the clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." The five daughters of Zelophehad petitioned Moses that they be granted the portion of the land belonging to their father. He died without sons. And they point out that he was not part of Korah's rebellion. We have to understand back then that women were just a little bit above property when it comes to the society. They did not have the rights and privileges of men. But God accepts their claim and incorporates it into the Torah laws of inheritance. Notice that it does not include wives. Remember the story of Ruth? She didn't qualify as a daughter-in-law and therefore needed a kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Joshua succeeds Moses. In verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, go up to the mountain in the Arim range and see the land that I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them and one to lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim and before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in. Because Moses misrepresented God, he's at least given an opportunity to look at the promised land. Let me bring this out in another way. What happened at the waters of Meribah? God told Moses, speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth water. No. Moses took it upon himself as God's representative. Remember, he's God's representative to the people. He took it upon himself to say, how long must we, speaking of himself, put up with you? Paraphrased loosely. Then he whacks the rock with the stick, his staff. God graciously allows water to come forth. But what did he do? He misrepresented God. Let me say this another way. Moses took the Lord's name in vain. And we need to think about that when we act as God's representatives. Moses empowers Joshua to succeed him and lead the people into the land of Israel. Now, I can relate to this kind of thing with my military background. I've been to many, many change of command ceremonies, you know. And even in the church today, we do the same thing. We lay on hands and we commission missionaries, we commission deacons, we commission elders, we commission pastors. And basically do the same thing that God had commanded Moses to do. In the last part of this parsha, God reiterates the feasts. So what can we take away from this? Let us do what's right in God's eyes. You've heard it said, if you know what is right to do and you don't do it, it is sin. Let's properly represent God. Sometimes we represent God without even knowing we're representing God. Right, Daniel? Yeah. Just by our actions, just by what we do. And one of the greatest compliments I ever received was many years after working in New Hampshire, someone asked if they knew me. And they said, oh yeah, that Christian dude. You know, that's what stood out. Not what I did, not my rank, not my name, But the fact that I was a Christian is what this guy related to. You know, and you never know how you affect other people. So let's also respect those who God places in authority over us, whether they be civil or within the church. God placed them there for his purpose. Amen. Shabbat shalom.